thank all of you for coming here today to honor Stephen and Dakota in attending their wedding ceremony and witnessing the giving of their vows to one another. And I'm supposed to preach this, so I'm all broke up. This is neat. Been cooking for 3 days now. I'm under the hammer. Thank you again all for attending today. In His goodness, God saw that it was not good for man to be alone, and therefore He created a helper worthy of Him. In Genesis, the 2nd chapter, verses 20 through 25, and this is from the original Hebrew because the English is too weak. Simple as that. All my students know that. And Adam gave names to all the livestock and to all the birds of the air and to every free-roaming beast of the field. But for Adam there was not found a helper suitable, adapted to completing all his needs for him. And Jehovah God caused a deep hypnotic trance to fall upon Adam. And while he was in that deep hypnotic trance, God took of his bones and of his fleshes and of his blood, and he closed up the fleshes instead of her. And of the sides of which the Lord God had taken from man, he built up and he made her into a woman. And he brought her to the man. And then Adam said, "This creation is now bone of my bones, and fleshes of my fleshes, and blood of my blood, and she shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man." And in every language, woman means out of man. Now Adam makes a prophecy which he didn't know anything about. He said, "Therefore a man shall leave his father and his mother and shall become united in one flesh. And the man and the woman were both naked and were not embarrassed or ashamed in each other's presence." And in the New Testament, but from a little different aspect, the Apostle Paul in the Ephesian letter, and the Ephesian letter was a circular letter to all the churches, so it's even good for us today. In Chapter 5, verse 22, he says, "Wives, be subject and submissive, and adapt yourselves to your own husbands as a service to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, himself the Savior of his body. And the church is subject to Christ in all things, so let wives also be subject in everything to their husbands. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, so that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, that he might present the church to himself in glorious splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and faultless. And even so, husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no man ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes it and carefully protects and cherishes it, as Christ does the church. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and his mother and shall be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh." Again, we have the same statement that was in the garden from Adam's mouth. "However, let each man of you love his wife as his very own self, and let the wife see that she respects her husband and reverences her husband, that she notices him," that's men like that, "regards him, honors him, prefers him, venerates him, esteems him, and that she defers to him, praises him, and loves and admires him exceedingly." That's a tall order. Thus we have divine scriptural authority for marriage in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. Since Dakota was a very young child, I was set by her bed. See, I didn't read this yesterday. And prayed with her every night. And this prayer, I would ask God to send the right man into her life and to help his parents raise that child in an honorable and nurturing way that would someday be the husband of my daughter, a husband that would be pleasing to God and honor God and love Dakota as much as I have loved her all of her life. A husband's to whom I can entrust the spiritual raising of my grandchildren and the spiritual nurturing of my beloved daughter. And evidently, Stephen is God's answer to that prayer. When I met Stephen the first time, I looked at him. He didn't look like he had just escaped out of prison. He was a looked like a human being. And you know, girls a lot of bring home anything. But a dog, you know, or a cat, you know. Have you ever seen a cat bring something to the back door you didn't quite know, sir? And I looked at him and he didn't look like he was on parole or anything, and then I met Stephen's mother and father, and they didn't look like they were from outer space either. Or some rehab place. So I began to pray and to watch their lives. I've raised three sons, and I've tried to teach them everything they needed to know in life and give them a spiritual foundation, turn them loose on the world. And all three of them are good husbands and good fathers. And I have watched Dakota all her life. I've given her the best I have and watched over and taught her how to be a wife and a mother. I have watched Stephen and Dakota build their little nest, their little home, for nearly 2 years. And it thrilled me tremendously. I watched them take that little house and clean it all out and paint it and polish it up. And I saw their love for each other grow deeper and deeper and deeper. And here we are today in fulfillment of that love. This morning I used to sing a song to Thomas and Dakota Bowles. And I say, Dad, I love Dakota. Yes, yes, yes. I say, Dad, I love Thomas. Yes, yes, yes. And I sing it in all different levels of voice. And they would laugh and go on. This morning I think that's her the last time. Today, she's a woman. Today, I'm going to turn you loose on the world. And I present it to you as my gift. Who gives this bride to be with?
I do.
Thank you, Thomas. We are gathered here today, this Saturday, June the 14th of the year of our Lord, 2014, to witness the joining of two lives in one. Stephen and Dakota, please join hands. Today we stand before an altar which God Himself originally created in the Garden of Eden, surrounded by God's flowers in His garden, with armies of angels and spirits as a witness to this great holy undertaking. This estate of marriage was created by God Himself before sin ever entered into the human race. Man lost Adam, but this holy estate of marriage has come down to us today through millennia, undisturbed by the horrors of wars, revolutions, and the rise and fall of nations, and not forgotten in times of peace. It is a union which young people dream of. Everybody wants to find somebody that truly loves, and old people rest in. Scriptural and reality, nor picture or minister can marry you. You can only marry each other. The state can only make marriage a legal contract. Marriage is a spiritual yet a terrestrial union between a man, a woman, and God. In marriage, two lives are blended together to make a mutual bond for a lifetime commitment. You will become best friends, companions, confidants, teachers, lovers, and sometimes critics. I don't care how well you think you've planned out your lives. This day you will start on an unknown and uncharted journey. You will face life's biggest challenges together as a couple to protect and respect each other in times of need, in times of sickness, financial distress, and financial success. You will succeed as a family, no matter what you face. You will face it together as one entity. A couple in marriage tries to bring out the best in each other's character to encourage encourage each other in success and the peace. We are gathered here together to watch and witness this miracle of God's love that has spread into these two young people's lives and has caused them to seek this holiest faith of marriage and a lifetime commitment to one another. Do we have the ring? Let's have a prayer. Our Heavenly Father and our God, I ask you this day to bless this couple that are coming and committing their lives to each other in marriage. I ask your Spirit to comfort them today with joy as they commit themselves to each in this unknown destiny that awaits them from this day forward. As they look down to their hands in everyday life, these rings that you see on their hands make they every day remind them of the commitment they have made this day with joy in their hearts. Father, please bless this assembly of witnesses to this wonderful event with peace and joy in their hearts. And the joining of this couple in marriage, now please be with us as we give you all the glory and honor in all things. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
In 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter, verse number 4. Now, if you follow this, there's not going to be a problem with us. The Apostle Paul said to the church at Corinth in this statement about true love, love endures long and is patient and is kind. Love is never envious nor boils over with jealousy. It is not boastful. It is not vainglorious. It does not display itself haughtily. It is not conceited and arrogant and inflated with pride. It is not rude. It does not act unbecomingly. Love does not insist on its own rights or its own way, for it is not self-seeking. It is not touchy. It is not fretful. It is not resentful. It takes no account of the evil done to it. It pays no attention to a suffered wrong. It does not rejoice in injustice and unrighteousness, but it rejoices in right and truth. Love bears up under anything and everything that comes its way. It is ever ready to believe the best of the person it loves. Its hopes are faithless. Under all circumstances, it endures everything without weakness. These wings, rings that you have are a circle, which has no beginning or end. I used to make rings for people. I think, Marilyn, you've got one on. I'd take a silver quarter or a dime, and I'd knock a hole in the middle of it, and then beat it around. It's one. This is the way they used to make rings for so long. And it becomes one circle that has no beginning or no end. These rings represent a circle that has no beginning or end. Two separate lives become lost into one destiny. Today, Dakota and Stephen, I will ask you to stay closer than ever. And you should love one another in sickness and in health, for better or for worse. At the same time, that very precious love that you have found and nurtured should give you freedom and strength to stand apart and seek out your own unique destinies to make those special contributions to humanity that is always part of each individual life. Stephen, as you take Dakota's left hand and place the ring on her finger, please repeat after me. I, Stephen, take you, Dakota.
I, Stephen, take you, Dakota.
To be my wife.
To be my wife.
To have and hold from this day forward.
To have and hold from this day forward.
For better or for worse.
For better or for worse.
For richer or for poor.
For richer or for poor.
In sickness and in health.
Sickness and in health.
To love and to cherish.
To love and to cherish.
Today.
Today.
Tomorrow.
Tomorrow.
And forever till death do us part.
And forever till death do us part. Till death do us
the coach. Take Stephen's left hand in yours. And place the ring on his finger. And please repeat after me. I, Dakota.
I, Dakota.
Take you, Stephen, to be my husband.
Take you, Stephen, to be my husband.
To have and to hold. From this day forward. For better or for worse. For richer or for poor. In sickness and in health. To love and to cherish. Today. Tomorrow.
Today, tomorrow.
And forever. So they'll do us part. Stephen and Dakota, your wife, are joined in the one unbroken circle. Wherever you go, you always return to one another as a family. May you grow in understanding, compassion, and devotion to each other. May the home you establish in Bakersfield, California, always symbolize the spirit of love that is in each of your hearts today. Stephen and Dakota, you have declared your faith and unity, and in the giving and receiving of your rings and your exchanging of your special vows in the presence of God and this assembly as witnesses. And this concludes the spiritual union as husband and wife. Now, in accordance with the laws of the state of California and as minister of the gospel, I declare you, Stephen and Dakota, legally husband and wife. I would like to say this one thing that the Native American people used to say to their young married people as they would send them out. Now you feel no rain, for you will find shelter in one another. You will feel no cold, for you will be warmth for the other. There will be no loneliness for you, for you are still two bodies, but there is only one life between you. So go now to your dwelling place and enter into those days of togetherness. And may your days be good and long upon this earth. And may your Heavenly Father keep and bless this marriage. Stephen and Dakota, you may seal your vows with a kiss. I present to you Mr. and Mrs. Stephen Edward Reagan. And may God bless you. And I want to do one more thing before I send you out the door and seal. Thomas, would you mind coming up here? You're all invited to dinner afterwards. And Thomas, would you say a blessing upon our food, please?
Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for letting Stephen and Dakota be able to come together and join together. Please let them be able to be blessed in their life. When the day comes and they have kids, please be able to bless those kids too, as honored as they can be. Watch over them and help them to be able to live by your word and help guide them. I ask this in your name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you.
Thank you, Harry.
Oh, you're welcome.